rejoice in you. Thank you for your presence. Your word says that we ought to rejoice in the Lord always and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Let me be you, Holy Spirit. Use this body to bring forth the message that you have for us, as you have given it to me, Lord. Pour it out of me and into them. In Jesus' name, amen. The name of this message is The Eternal Seed. It's been simmering in my spirit for a couple of weeks, months, years. But through God doing a work in my life, I'm able to share with you what he's done so that you can receive it. How many of you are born again? Okay, you have God's DNA in your heart, in your inner man, in the new creation that God is making. Colossians 3 talks about put on the new man, renew your mind, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and become the new creation. That's the Christian walk. There really is no big mystery of it, but a lot of people make a mystery and they make it difficult. If you read Romans 1, I've been in Romans 1 the last couple of weeks because of the state of our nation and some of the decisions that they made. You know, Romans 1 absolutely, specifically addresses women going after unnatural relationships with one another and men going into unnatural relationships with one another. It's very clearly stated. It's also very clearly stated in the Old Testament, and they were stoned. So Romans 1 also talks very clearly about the heavens portraying the glory of God. It's also in Psalm 19, but it says in Romans 1 that everyone knows it because God has put a conscience in us. So it's only those of us who, and I was among them, that got my conscience seared. I just came under a lot of guilt when I was in sin, but I had a good time. But my conscience was seared, so I was no longer over and over and over again hardening my heart against the Lord and remaining in sin. Thank God people were praying for me, and I did meet the Lord. I was able to share my testimony because we were on the very beach where I was saved yesterday with this woman, Amy, who I had met at City Lights Women's Retreat, wonderful woman, and she came to the house with my kids and her husband and her three kids. So it was awesome to be standing there on the beach and be able to share with her, this is where I met Jesus Christ 37 years ago. But this message about the eternal seed is something that the Father has been imparting into my very being and continuously reminding me of his love for me. And I know that if he's speaking that to me, he's probably speaking it to you too. I want you to just take a minute right now, put your hands up and receive the agape. There's only one agape and it comes from God. Receive the agape. It comes from the Master. Abba Father, we thank you for your agape, unconditional, covenantal love. We thank you for it. I ask you to heal and touch every wound of every soul here, that they will know how much you love them. Romans 5:8 says very clearly that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, Father, we come right now, we repent, we confess, and we move back into grace. We will not spend any time at the condemnation and guilt tree. We will come into the freedom and the liberty of even this morning's sin, Lord. We thank you that your blood has covered us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Because of the fall, we need the way back. We need the way back to the Father's love. We are all born into sin. All you need is see a two-year-old, take the toy away from them, and they will show you what sinners are. So all of us have that nature. We also have that conscience, and we have that inner knowing when we're doing something wrong, don't we? So everybody does, because God is forever speaking, and the Holy Spirit is all over the earth speaking and declaring who Jesus Christ is. He has carved out that way for us. He has a specific individual calling and desire for each one of us on this earth. We are all unique. The fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was raised from the dead and came into a resurrection life and ascended back into heaven, he created a way for us to be reunited with Father God. That is the power of the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. There's no other thing. That's it. It's not confusing. It's not hard to understand, except if this mind or this heart is engaged in wanting the lust. And in Romans 1, it talks about the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5 talks about the lust of the flesh. That part of us that is natural and evil. How many of you know that there's part of you that's evil? So, I also want to assure you that God loves you, and in that evilness, if you turn and worship in that moment, it's done. It's gone. The battle is on. In your inner man, when you say yes to Jesus, he comes in. And you receive that DNA, eternal seed of the Father. There's an incorruptible seed of the living Christ that's within you. And as you focus on that, and as you pour your attention on the living Christ, the living God, I don't care how you feel or what you are in the middle of, in your cry to the Lord, he will turn you, and in your repentance, bring you back into a place of purity and holiness. That's who he is. The agape eternal seed reproduces God's nature in us. Did you hear that? It reproduces God's nature in us. That is what the eternal agape seed does. Like an acorn reproduces and becomes within the DNA of the acorn, it becomes a huge tree. Same thing. When we become born again, when we come in and say yes to Jesus, there's a beginning of a new awakening to life in Jesus Christ. Agape will never go away. It never disappears. It never leaves. 1 Corinthians 13:8. So what is the nature of the agape? What is the nature of God? The nature of God is love. His compassion goes beyond. Many, many times Jesus was on the road towards doing something else or being somewhere else, and he had compassion. He stopped the direction that he was going into to heal, to fill. He stopped and healed the one. So he'll do that for you. He'll do it. John 4:8 says, he's covenantly faithful, unconditionally loving, and completely self-giving. His DNA has communicable attributes that seep into our being. I realized today I've been saved for 37 years. I've been walking with Jesus. And like when I first came to the Lord, it was very, very difficult for me because I was a sinner. I was doing things, whatever I wanted to do, whenever I wanted to do it. I don't have that same struggle anymore. I have struggles, but not with my very core being. My very core is filled with the eternal DNA of the living Christ. So there's something all wholly different. There are still parts of me that I'm working with, and God is redeeming. He's working with. But for the most part, my response is with the DNA of the living God. For the most part. And I'm very excited about that, recognizing that. Mark 4:26 to 29. This is the scripture the Lord gave me when I began to pray for Sarah to be healed. This is why I know that she's going to be healed. It's been a long time. Sometimes I get very weary, and I get annoyed, and I yell at God, and I speak the deaf hear a million times. I think at least one time a day it's on my heart, and I say the deaf hear. You promise, Lord. This is the scripture. It was Mark 4. I did an immense study on Mark 4. I still go into that psalm and go into that chapter of scripture, and I focus on the seed and the soils and I went through the whole thing with the Lord because of our yard, and I'm planting seeds everywhere, and God is speaking to me about all the different soils and all the different places and all the different seeds. And my husband did such an amazing job of just covering the entire yard with beautiful flowering plants. I go outside and I just gasp, both of us, because this year everything is blooming, and it's just an amazing miracle. But Mark 4, 26 to 29 talks about the seed that has been planted. When a farmer plants a seed, he plants the seed. It's the same thing, that eternal Father's seed, that DNA producing Father's seed, eternal seed that's been putting us in us, will produce his likeness. You need to know that. It will produce his likeness. It doesn't mean that your flesh is totally dead, because we have to war with the flesh every day, don't we? But it gets easier, doesn't it? Does anybody else know that, or is it just me? It gets easier with the actual warfare personal. There's warfare because we still are not totally redeemed. There's warfare because people around us are not redeemed. But the reality of staying in a place where you are filled continuously, every moment, from moment to moment, is where you want to be. And focusing on the fact that the eternal living seed of the living incorruptible Christ is in you, I find very encouraging. Helps me to overcome my own sin nature and the struggles that I may be going through at different times, where the enemy is railing at me and screaming and accusing me. And I have to say, I'm not listening to you. I'm listening. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that I believe in him, so I will not perish, but I have everlasting life. I want you to know that condemnation and guilt does not belong in the mind of a born-again, spirit-filled believer. Because Romans 8:1, what does it say? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are feeling condemned, it is not God. If you are sick, it is not God. If you are feeling guilty, it is not God. If you are in a trial in your finances, it's not God. God himself loves you and has poured out everything for you. He uses whatever happens in your circumstances, and I would say 90% of the things that we go through is because of our own... what am I going to say? Decisions. Whatever. Well, yes. God will come in the midst of your mess and bring redemption. That's who he is. That's what he does. He loves it. But he allows us to be in these situations, in this earth. But the trials that we go through, the fire that we go through, it's so that we can see God and that we can become God-like. Little g. Because in the fire, we see God. The fourth man is in the fire, right? The children of Israel, they went in as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were in the fire, the fourth man was in the fire, wasn't he? So if you're in the midst of a trial, God is in there with you, and he's talking to you. But so you get so consumed with the fire that you don't hear what he's saying. And what he's saying is what Rudy so beautifully sang this morning. I love you. You are mine. You're my child. There is a fire that comes because we're sinners. And that fire, God can bring us out of. Because we are redeemed by the blood. Then there's also a fire that the enemy sends and that other sinners send. and because this world is fallen. But we also can come out and be redeemed out of that as well. I'm telling you that God loves you. He loves you. He does not rejoice when you are struggling. Are you listening to me? He's not happy about you if you are struggling. He comes in and resists the enemy with the cudgel, smashes the enemy's lies, and sets you free so you don't have to struggle. So you have peace. Doesn't mean that everything is wonderful. It's not all the time. No, it's not. But the peace of God, the peace of God, and after a while, I can remember when it changed for me, when I just started thanking God, thanking God, thanking God, and thanking God, and thanking God, and thanking God, and thanking God in the midst of every trial. And there were many people around me that thought I was a little loony. But you know what? In every trial that I was in, and every grateful word that came out of my mouth brought the kingdom of God. God's DNA, his eternal seed, creates the kingdom in you and the kingdom in me. Prayer is the key, one of the keys to the kingdom, to bring in the kingdom. I'll share a really brief testimony. This couple, family moved in around the block, I don't know how many years ago, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago. I walk around the block, and every time I walk by the block, I see these, when I saw them when they moved in, so I said hi to them, how you doing? I introduced myself to the woman. Long and short of it, I brought her to the Lord. I took her to a prayer meeting. We shared the gospel. We started walking together. It was just a wonderful time for me and for her. One day we're walking, and I don't think they were living there more than a couple months, and she just pours her heart out about how her husband, you know, is not working with her anymore, and they used to garden together, and he doesn't want anything to do with her, and the garden, and he's so stressed because of the move, and he lost his job, and all these things that she was just thought her marriage was over. That's basically what she was saying. So I just encouraged her, and I don't even remember, it was so long ago. And then when I went home, I prayed for her. The next day, when I walked by her house, I saw demons all over the lawn. You know, if you want to be really interceding and praying for people, you need to get your hands dirty, because you're going to be engaging the enemy of your soul in a battle. But you have the blood, right? We have the blood. The accuser of the brethren has been hurled down forever. So I bound all of those demons and commanded them to get off the property. And they all left. And I saw them leave. So 2 weeks later, walking down by her house, she comes running out. Marie, I'm going to come with you today. It's okay. So we walk around the block, and she says, you're not going to believe what happened. I can't even believe what happened. I said, what? She said, my husband came outside. He apologized to me. And he's in the garden, he's gardening again, and oh, I can't believe it. It's like a changed man. He's even better than he was before. He got a job, and he's just wonderful and kind to me. So I just started crying. Now, she doesn't know. She knows I prayed. She didn't know what happened. God knows, and her husband certainly doesn't know. We go down yesterday to the parade, and this man that I prayed for how many years ago is now the chaplain of the fire department, and he prayed. He prayed at Eaton's Neck Beach for God to come and help us and be with us, and I'm standing there with tears running down my cheek, and the Holy Spirit reminds me, remember when you prayed for him? God did an amazing thing in his life, and now he's the chaplain. So that's what God wants to use us for in every situation. Jenny, so encouraged. Jenny's witnessing to, I'm just telling everybody anyway, she's witnessing to her tenant. And the man is struggling in a lot of ways, and she's giving him scriptures, and she's praying for him, and she's blessing God in his life, and he's receiving it. And his life is changing. That's what we are here for. We have to be in a position where the DNA of the living Christ flows out of us when we talk to people. I also was online for a hot dog, and this man's daughter was in front of me, who I haven't seen in like 10 years. So we shared, and we talked. And so now I know, okay, I'm going to start praying for that family again. So back to Mark 4. The seed grows, and we don't know how. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And that's what the Holy Spirit told me, that there's a faith and a reality and the presence of the King and the kingdom that grows and grows. So that's what happened with this man. That seed that I planted in his wife, which was to bring her to the Lord and have her start reading the Word, I see her every week at the grocery store, and we talk and this and that. So God knows. So we don't know how the seed grows, do we? We have no clue, but God is in it. It's the same way that the seed grows in us. And sometimes we feel like, oh my God, where is it? But it's here. It's in us. Trust God and have faith that the seed, the eternal seed of God, is in you and it's growing. I see it in every one of you. And Pastor Roy and I, we sometimes pray and we weep because I see what God has been doing in your lives. I see how you have grown and matured. It's just amazing, miraculous. So, God gave us two great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And this is what God was talking to me about for the last 2 weeks. Maria, you're still a little too strong. You still have a little too much of Marie's strength in you. So he has been hacking away at my strength, because the only way that we can be in a place of complete protection is to be completely surrendered. And God knows that. So sometimes you're in these trials and he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to say, Marie, there's too much strength right here. Marie, there's something right here that's unholy in you that I want to get a hold of and I want to pull it out, which is what he did. And I will share that with you. So Deuteronomy 6, which is called the Shema of the Jewish faith, 4-7, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. I want to rebuke the enemy right now. If you have raised your children in the faith and they're not walking with him and they're condemning you and railing at you and in sin, that's not your fault. Don't listen. If you taught them and trained them in the ways of God, you keep praying for that eternal seed to rise up and heal them and raise them up, and they will be reminded. They will remember, believe me. Mark 12:30, that was the Old Testament. You shall love the Lord Jehovah your God with all your whole heart and with your whole entire soul and with your entire mind and with all your power. Mark 12:30-32, Amplified. You shall love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart, and out of and with your whole soul, which is your life, and out of and with your whole mind, with your faculty of thought and your moral understanding, and out of and with all of your strength. This is the first principal commandment. The second is like unto it, and this is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. In Matthew 22:40 says, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So within that commandment, that first commandment, and the second commandment that is like it, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I want to talk just for a few minutes about the as yourself, because truthfully, God opened something up in me about as yourself. because I walk in self-denial. And that is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But the Holy Spirit also spoke to me about the new creation that I have become, and that the way that he created me in particular ways, because he's the one that gave me identity and value, because he sent Christ to die for me so I can become a new creation. And the new creation, Marie, is different than you. And that's perfectly okay. And when I talk to somebody else that's totally different than me, and we somehow meet together where God is, that's a wonderful thing. I don't have to become them. I don't have to be like them. I don't have to have the same opinion. I do have to say, have the same faith if we're going to have a unity. If we don't, well, then we better find some other way to communicate with each other. Or maybe it's time for me to be the living Christ for them, which is what I have been called to be for those who are outside of the reality and grace of the living King. We have to love ourselves, people. We have to be happy with who we are, how we look, what we like to do, what we don't like to do, and it has to be okay. I'll give you an example. Last pastor's prayer meeting, Pat, who is a really good friend of mine, came and brought strawberries and something else, some other kind of fruit. So I washed them to help. You know, I washed them, and I put them on a plate. I put them in a bowl. I think it was blueberries. I put them both in a different bowl, you know. Because when I eat strawberries, I take the stem and the leaves, and I eat it like this. So I went around. That was it. And then, like, a minute later, I go over and I look. And I didn't say anything to her. And she's over there with the knife and the cutting board, and she's cutting up the strawberries. And whatever the other thing was, I don't remember. And I had to laugh to myself because I realized that doesn't make her better than me. That's the way she does it. This is the way I do it. But I have to tell you, for my grandchildren yesterday, I cut the strawberries up and put them in a bowl for them because they don't understand. I started to teach. See, I was teaching them how to eat the strawberry with the handle. I mean, less work for mother. So they didn't get it. So for my grandchildren, I cut them up. But see, it doesn't matter who cuts up the strawberries and who leaves them with the stem. You understand what I'm saying? That's not what it's about. We're both serving. We're serving. I'm not who she is. She's not me. Each of us is unique and genuine. We each have our own identity. I'm going to talk just a few minutes about the secret place, because this is where I got delivered, and in a way that's very common to me. I do the weeding, and my husband said, he mentioned three or four times, oh, this tree, I got to cut those branches from underneath the tree. So I knew what he was talking about, but I mean, he has always done it. So, anyway, I'm out there. It was like 2 weeks later. He mentioned it like three times. Being who I am, I said, oh, I'm going to take care of that for him. So I get the clippers. The story about this Japanese feather maple is that it was two of them were placed there when we first had the house redone, where we raised the roof and split the whole place open and redid. So that our kids, when Aaron was not quite two, could have, you know, some more room to live in. So those trees were my husband's, like, pride. Bought those trees. He didn't even tell me how much they cost because I would have yelled at him at the time. But he loved those trees. So here's those trees. Now, you know, we went through all of this with the snow and the pit, you know, in the front of the house. And I could tell you stories that would just make you laugh. You know, traveling up and down the side and special boots all muddy and putting them in the car because it snowed and they didn't finish the property. So, you know. But, you know, my husband and I were grateful to God. We just thank God every day because we knew that he was there and he was going to take care of it. And whatever we were going through, he was going to help us through. And he did. So now the house is amazing. But when they changed where the path was, they had to transplant those two Japanese feather maples. So we were both nervous about it, especially because it went through two really horrible winters. Anyway, I wasn't there the day they transplanted them, but they transplanted them. And my husband said they had to cut, you know, part of the root off this one, this big one, because it wouldn't fit where the edge of the railroad tie wall, the stone wall was. So I started to pray for this tree, for both of them. Last year when they came out, they didn't look too good. And we were like, oh no, I hope they're going to make it. This year, they bloomed and they're absolutely amazing. Beautiful. Except, you know, with a Japanese feather maple, you want it to go like this. And they're all red when they're full bloom. And underneath, sometimes sticking through the top, there are these green branches that they're rogue branches. They're supposed to be cut off. So that's what I'm doing. So I shimmy myself under the tree. It's like this. I'm under the tree, not thinking anything. Oh, I'm going to cut the branches. I can't get under there because there's, you know. So I'm pushing myself underneath the tree on my back. I finally pull the branches and pull myself under the tree. I get the branch cutter, and I'm cutting off the branches. And right in the mid, while I'm in the middle of cutting off these branches, this thing comes up in me. Oh, your husband should be doing this, not you. It's just the way it goes again. You know, you're doing it and he's not. And I went, what? But I realized that even though I have forgiven him and he's forgiven me over all the years of the things that we've done to each other, God wanted me to be completely free from resentment. So this is that moment that I was under that tree. I said, no, I have volunteered. This is what I said. I have volunteered to cut these branches off. This has nothing to do with my husband. You liar. So I finished cutting the branches. Everything was done. I repented anyway. I said, you know, Lord, because see, that's one of my fatal flaws. Everybody has things and ways that they move. Some people lose their temper or whatever. I move right into resentment, and I have dealt with it over and over and over. So here it is again. Okay, so I got delivered. I got healed. I got set free. I started to thank God for my husband, thanking him for all that he's done, even that the trees were saved, whatever. So that was my moment. And while I'm under the tree, I just took a breath for a minute. I finished and I looked up. I said, look how nice everything is done. And I noticed that this is a little part on the other side that had to be clipped. And I just felt the Lord say no. So while I'm under there, the Holy Spirit says to me, this is the only place where complete deliverance happens. It's under the shadow of his presence. This is the only place where transformation takes place, under the shadow. He who dwells, abides, lives, reigns under the shadow, remains under the shadow. In this secret place, under the shadow. Yes, that's later in the psalm. The first verse just says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In the feathers verse, there's two feathers it talks about. It's actually two shields that he covers you with, a smaller shield and a bigger shield. I'm not teaching on Psalm 91, maybe some other day, but I find it uncannily like the Lord that Rudy decided to sing Psalm 91 today. Because I was going to read it, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't have to read it. So I come in here, and Rudy is singing it. See, the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you to read it through. Find a commentary, Matthew Henry commentary, awesome. Read through what each verse means, because it's a deliverance psalm. It's a healing psalm. So I shimmied out from underneath the tree, And I was totally changed. The resentment root was pulled up and removed from my natural man, my old man, and now my new creation does not move in resentment at all. Are you hearing me? Under the shadow. I moved out from underneath, and I couldn't get out, so here I am pushing myself against these two crooked, gnarled branches under this Japanese feather maple. I come out on the other side, and I start picking up the branches that I cut. And I happen to look under the tree, and there's an imprint of my backside under the tree. So I started to laugh. And the Holy Spirit said, stay there. Every time you go by this tree now, you will remember the deliverance of resentment. Pulled out of your old creation, no longer there to torment or try to override my love for you, because that's what it is. So that was one. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High means most important. Who is the most important? And what he is saying to you is the most important. Almighty means that God is the most powerful. The most powerful. He is the most powerful. Under the shadow, under his protection, there are blessings. Now, this is something he gave me. Specifically, there are blessings and there are realities of blessings. I said, okay, what does that mean? I kept trying to change what he said. I don't know why. I was like, the realities. No. Blessings and realities of blessings. There are blessings that we receive every day that come because we are born again, spiritual believers. Then there are blessings that come every day just by the nature of who we are. We breathe, our bodies move and function and eat, and all the way that all of these parts of our body move and function the way God created. And then his breath in us, his DNA. The reality is the blessings. There are blessings that are happening to each one of us that we are not aware of. So what we need to do is become aware of them, right? How do we become aware of them? You become aware of them by being in the secret place and worshiping and gazing. Even that you were singing about gazing and looking at him going from glory. Looking at the Holy Ghost. Looking at the Jesus that we know. Looking at the Father God, he is so amazing and awesome. We walk in the world pouring out his love. You can't pour out his love when you're involved with your own Eros love. Okay? Agape is what we need. Agape. And not the phileo love either, but only his love. A week later, I walk by and the Holy Spirit said, it's time for you. He even tells you when. If you're walking in an intimate relationship, he will even tell you when to do whatever it is. He shops with me. He said, it's time for you to get rid of the other part. So I went under there again, shimmied under there, and took the thing and clipped off the rest of the rogue branches. And God did something again this morning. I sat outside because Ariel and Chris were there and the baby, and my husband and I needed to go sit with the Lord, so I sat out in the front and listened to this song, which I'm going to sing over you at the end of this, which we are very close to. I listened to this song 3 times, sobbing, so overwhelmed with the love of God. How much he loves me. How much he's done. How he watches over his word to perform it on my behalf. How he pours himself into me all the time and just loves me. Talk to me about healing. I've been struggling with my back. I'm 95% healed. He told me that he was going to heal me. So I went through all the processes. Okay, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to go get an x-ray? Do I have to do? And I said, you know, Lord, I really don't have time to do all that. I need you to heal me. So he said, I'm going to heal you, because I did ask him. He said, I'm going to heal you. I said, okay. So we love God, we love our neighbor, as we love our love God, we love ourselves, and we love our neighbors. Those are the three ways that the agape love is formed in us. Sometimes we have to do something for our neighbors that maybe we don't want to do. For our families, you know, for the guy next door who's mean, and I can say because he's not there anymore. Anyway, you know, what is God telling you? How would, you know, one way you can use a plumb line for your behavior is, you know, am I pleasing the Father today? Are my words and my actions pleasing God? We want to be Father pleasers. It's in John 8, I think. You know, Jesus said, I only do what the Father says, and therefore I please him, because I only do what he tells me to do. As I sat there this morning, when I first put the song on and sat there, the Holy Spirit said, it's almost finished. Okay. And by the time the third song went around, he said, it's finished. So that thing, whatever it was that he was pulling out of me and moving, it's totally gone. Now this is, I'm going to finish with this other story. At the back of our property, we couldn't afford to have the 8-foot railroad tie wall brought up all the way up. So we had a half wall put, and then we had a larger wall. So there's this whole stretch of the entire backyard that's about this wide, and we put the plants on there that we didn't like. One of them being barberry bushes, because we had them all over the yard and didn't like them because they have thorns in them. And my husband would very dutifully trim them every year and get thorns in his fingers and everything. So we put them in the back because we're not going to be going back there. And I really didn't care about the back. I call them the back six. I don't really care about them because it's behind the cyclone fence and behind the wall. So the Holy Spirit says to me, you need to go back there and, you know, do some weeding. And I didn't want to. So I'm up in the front, and my neighbor who lives behind me, who we both shared the huge abyss of woods that, you know, was my property before. Oh, how you doing, man? I said, I'm good. Oh, I can't believe what you did to the property. It's so beautiful. It looks so beautiful. I said, oh, yeah, thanks. Oh, I spent 4 hours the other day weeding. You know, I said, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I said, you know, I'm not even weeding that back part because I don't really care. I'm like being very cavalier about it. And he goes, very quietly, he says, well, I have to look at it. I said, oh. And, you know, it kind of went in one ear and out of the other because I was too busy boasting about the fact that I didn't really care. I was even taking the weeds from our beautiful beds and dropping them there for mulch, you know. And I remember when I did the first weeding before he said anything, my husband said, see, this is the difference between Pastor Roy and I. He said, did you pick up the things that you clipped and pulled up? I said, no, I left them there for mulch. See, he would have not only picked them up, he would have got a bag and he would pull them all, put them all in the bag and tied up a nice knot and took them away. So I didn't do that. I didn't really care. I'm too busy weeding my beautiful property. Anyway, after this gentleman said that, 2 days later, the Holy Spirit says, you need to go back there and get rid of the weeds. I said, okay. He said, and there's a healing in it. I said, really? Yeah, and there's blessings in it. So I said, okay. I'm going to heal your back. I said, I'm thinking, you're not going to heal my back. I have to go there and bend over and pull up these weeds. How am my back going to be healed? So I go back. It rains 2 days in a row, so I don't do it. Forget about it. A couple of days later, the Holy Spirit go back there and pull the weeds. So I go back there with a bag and pull all the weeds about halfway, throw it all in this bag, tie it up, smash it all down, stick of bushes and everything, pull it up, drag it out, and I start feeling my back is getting healed because I'm bending over up and down, pulling these weeds up, doing this, you know, doing that, having to use all the muscles, right? I did half of it 2 days later, my husband, well, he picks up the bag and puts it in the garbage. 2 days later, go ahead and finish. You got to finish. And I'm going, I don't really want to do the rest. It's behind this guy's big pine trees. Nobody's going to, am I the only one? Nobody's going to see it. So, Holy Spirit. So, I take another bag. I go back there. I'm pulling the rest of the weeds all the way down to the end. All the way. And there's two spots where there's nothing. Because we're not going to buy plants to put on the back 6 foot. Who cares? So, nobody sees it. All the way to the end, and there's vines and prickle bushes, and I got the thing. I had gloves, you know, and then I looked down, and at the very end of the railroad tie wall over here, there's a barberry bush growing. It's about this high and this wide, and it was like just stuck. I said, you know, I'm going to pull that up. I'm going to put that in one of the holes. And then all along the top are these little tiny barberry bushes. I said, you know, I'm going to pull every one of those up, and I'll plant them in the other hole. So I'm pulling, I'm weeding, and in the meantime, my back is getting better and better and better. And I'm moving, and I start worshiping, praising God, shouting his praises, and thanking him for what he's doing in me, because now I'm seeing. Now I'm seeing what he's doing, understanding what he's doing. Put it all in a bag, pull the barberry bush, put it in one of the spots, put all the little ones. Now this sounds, who cares, but I had to get down because I dropped my clipper. So I had to get down another 4 foot wall with my back. And I'm going, I can't do it. Normally I would have just jumped because of my back, I was like. So I said, Lord, he said, get down the way I taught you. So I get down on my knees and I ease myself down. I pick up the clipper, bring it back up. And I notice that there's a black hose, which I actually noticed before, but wrapped around all of my bushes, which I did not put there, all the way to the end. And the entire back of the property over here is cleaned out, which I did not do. We own about 4 feet of it, but this other neighbor has it. So I get down, I pick up my clipper, and I realize my back is even better. Get up. So in the midst of this whole menagerie of work, God starts to talk to me very clearly about loving my neighbor and loving myself enough to clean the back 6 feet, because that's my property. And that says something to my neighbor. While I'm down on the floor, I look and I realize that the barberry, I should have put it in the other spot that was bigger. So I go to pull it up, and there's two. So I left one there, pulled the other one, put the other one there. And now not only is it clear of weeds, there's two new barberry bushes growing in the open places, and I'm watering it. But the landlord, the neighbor over there, the landlord ran that black hose around my plants because they were dying and they weren't looking too good. So my neighbor, who mentioned to me in passing that he has to look at it, waters those plants for 10 minutes a day. So turns out he saw me out there, you know, doing the weeds. And he was talking to Pastor Roy the other day. Oh, yeah. And he said, oh, you know, where we went that back there. Yeah, that was great. Tell her thanks. I appreciate that. Then I'm at the parade yesterday, and he's sitting there with these two young ladies. Not young ladies, old ladies. Anyway, I went over and said hi to him because his dog and my dog have a thing going. And he says, hi, Marie. The biggest hug just melted in my arms. I melted in his arms. And he said to these two women, this is my neighbor. He could have said any number of things, but he said, this is my neighbor. He didn't say, this is Marie or this is the woman. This is my neighbor. So the Holy Spirit said to me, love yourself, and love your neighbor. I need to love myself enough to clean out the 6 foot piece of my own property and I need to love my neighbor enough to take care of it. So that's about the end of the message, and that's the reality of walking. So you love God, you love yourself, you love your neighbor, and you need to do it from the secret place. You need to do it from the secret place, because we have a secret place. We have an inner man that God is forming and transforming into his own image. And that's what we want to be. We want to look like Jesus to people that are outside walking around. You don't know, like when I prayed for this man so many years ago, you don't know the power behind that prayer. And the enemy will try to stop you from praying. I'm telling you that there is fruit, and it's kingdom fruit that comes from the kingdom DNA of the Father God. And each one of you has it in you. So I want to encourage you today to continue to nourish it and cultivate it and water it and worship the King of Glory, because he loves you. He's created you in his own image initially, and then he has sent Jesus so you could see how you're supposed to live, how you're supposed to move, who you're supposed to look like, which is Jesus, right? We want to look like Jesus. And don't let the enemy tell you that you can't look like Jesus. You can. You can look like Jesus. Okay, I'm going to give you a minute, because I'm sure God brought something up in your heart that you may need to deal with, or not. Helen just went through an amazing amount of trial, physical trial. The Holy Spirit told me before she started her cyberknife that this was the end. I said, "This is the end? What does that mean?" I said, "This is the end of her trial. This is the end of this, because she needs to know." Now, I don't know. If I haven't really had an opportunity to sit down with Helen and find out all the wonderful things that God did during this time, but I know that she is stronger than she was when she started, and she knows her healer more intimately than she did when she started this, and she knows that her God will take care of her and at the right time and bring her out and through these things. You know, her body's getting old, so is mine. I got prayer this morning from a woman that has a gift of healing, and my back is better than it was when I walked in. So I want you to just spend a little time here. I'm going to just sing this song, and then we're just going to be quiet before the Lord. I want you to close your eyes and just let the eternal seed deal with your heart and change you. See yourself under his shadow, under his protection. Zephaniah 3:17 says that the Lord rejoices over you with song and with singing. He dances mightily and wildly and crazily over you. That's how much he loves you. There's a song that the Father sings over us. I have heard it a number of times, and that song is what keeps my heart in God's hands. And that song is what continually sings over me, whether I'm good, bad, or ugly, because he is constantly singing to me of his love, constantly pouring his love into me. If you read his word every day and memorize one scripture, there will be a moving. That scripture will move in your very being and transform and change you, because that's who God is and that's his design. So close your eyes. I have heard so many songs. Listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity, it's written on my heart. heaven's perfect melody. The Creator's symphony. You are singing over me. Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery. The King of Love has sent for me. Now you're singing over me. Father's song. Heaven's perfect melody. The Creator's symphony. You are singing over me. Father's song. Heaven's perfect melody. The Creator's symphony. You are singing over me. The Father's song. Heaven's perfect melody. The Creator's symphony. You are singing over me. The Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all, sounds above them all. Father's love, Father's song, you are singing over me. You are singing over me. You are singing over me. The Father's song. Father's song. Father's song. Father's love. You sing it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Amen. Be blessed and know that you're loved by God. You set aside some time today to just sit with him. I'm sure he will sing that song in your heart and bring you a little closer to himself. That's who he is. Lord, I thank you for the work that you do in me, and I thank you for this church and the privilege it is to be standing up here and able to share your love with your people. I pray that each one has been touched deep in their heart and their spirit by you today. They will leave here changed and filled. And I thank you once again for your unending eternal seed that has been planted in me and that's growing. I thank you, Lord, that I can see it growing. You have opened my eyes. So open our eyes, Lord, to see what you're doing today, now, here, that we can continue to walk in peace and grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.